I was trading some emails this past week with a fellow preacher, and on the last one, he closed by saying, "I wish you a stress-free holiday season." And I got to tell you, my first thought was, "I wish." But you know what my second one was? Well, whose fault is that? You know, most things in life are stressful because we make them that way. Now, certainly there are things that happen over which we have no control, and that causes anxiety. But for the most part, we fret over things. And especially this time of year, it's been my experience that that happens, and then my favorite time of the year is over, and I've stressed it away. So, as my friend told me, for this week, I wish you a stress-free holiday season where we can be with our family and we can reflect on the year God's given us and we can bask in thankfulness and look forward to a year that is to come. So glad to be together tonight. I'm going to be reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to ask you to open your Bible. You can even put your new bookmark there, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to read some familiar verses to you in verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, beginning at verse 9. The wise man says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one overpower? But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." That may be tonight that the first thing you thought of, either when you saw the passage or heard those familiar verses, was you thought of a wedding ceremony. I've used them in weddings. And certainly they apply in that God said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. But it is not likely that Solomon had the marriage relationship primarily in mind when he said these words. Because when you look back at verse 8, leading into these verses, he's talking about a certain man without a dependent, or the literal version is without a second. That has led to the saying of the Talmud, "What good is one hand without the other?" And so he's speaking of companionship. Now, marriage fulfills companionship, but he's not just talking about husbands and wives. He's talking about the longing that each of us has for a companion. We're social creatures, and God made us that way. We're created in His image, and even at a young age, we seek a companion. We don't want to be alone. Think of it. When you were in school, what was the greatest fear when you went to the cafeteria for lunch? "I'll have to sit by myself." And then at the end of life, what is often the greatest fear? "I don't want to die alone." And so we seek companions. And Solomon said, two are better than one. And the Bible speaks of friendships like David and Jonathan. When Job encountered his calamities, who was it who came and sat with him for 7 days and nights? His three friends. When Jesus sent out the apostles, how did he send them? Two by two. Two are better than one. But what about when we seek God as our companion? I understand that we are to have a reverence and a godly fear for Him. We are to worship Him. But the Bible also speaks about God being our friend. Three times, Abraham is referred to as the friend of God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God speaking about you in such a way that He would say, "This is my friend"? So it was with Abraham. When Jesus was on the earth, He was called the friend of tax collectors and sinners. Aren't you glad He is? He said to the apostles in John 15 and verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." In fact, the next verse He says, "No longer do I call you slaves, but friends." I want to encourage you tonight to find a friend in Jesus. I want you to see Him in these verses that we've read tonight as our companion who makes us better than when we're alone. When Solomon described his characteristics of friendship in the book of Proverbs, he says in Proverbs 18 and verse 24 that a man of many friends comes to ruin. But he said there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If we were to poll the audience tonight and ask everybody to list your top quality that you look for in your friends, I imagine it would be communicated in a lot of different ways. But if we were to sum it up, I think one of the most common answers is that we say we would want a friend who will be there. You ever heard that? I want you to know Jesus is a friend who sticks. Jesus is a friend who will be there. Jesus is a friend who makes you better than being simply one. Well, how does He do that? Number one, Jesus will be there when we fall. Verse 10, "For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who falls when there is not another to lift him up." Remember that in Bible times, it was a dangerous thing to travel. There were often perils on the road, and you might fall in a pit. Remember, the law of Moses made provisions, even on the Sabbath day, for you to help your neighbor or your countryman get their ox out of the pit. And so, he said, if one of you falls, his companion will be there to lift him up. He'll help bear his burden. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, that's what we're to be to one another. When we bear one another's burdens, Paul said, we fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is that law? That you love one another even as I have loved you. And companions and friends are wonderful at that, as we go through the different difficulties of life. Our friends can come to our rescue if we need food. They come to our rescue if we need money. They come to our rescue if we just need someone to be there. But you know, there is one burden that only Jesus can bear. And He will be there when you fall in sin. Keep your place here, but look to Ephesians, the second chapter. When Paul describes what God did when we were far away, when we were dead, and our friend came near. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in Himself He might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. Yes, our friends can come to our rescue, and they can help us through trials. But only Jesus can bear our greatest burden. Only Jesus, our friend, could rescue us from the depth of sin and redeem us. He can take us who had become estranged from God because of our sin, and He can make it to where we are called the friend of God. That God would speak to us face to face like He spoke to Moses, His friend. Only Jesus can do that. I want to encourage you to find a friend in Jesus. He will be there when you fall. When you feel like there's no hope. When you feel like you're beyond rescue. When you feel like there is no tomorrow, call on Jesus, your friend. Listen to it. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. Find a friend in Jesus. He makes you better than being alone. Jesus will be there, number two, when we call for comfort. He'll be there when we fall and when we call for comfort. Look at verse 11 back in Ecclesiastes 4. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Again, our first thought is to the marriage bed. But again, we've got to think about the culture in which these words were written. Do you remember when King David was old? And we read in 1 Kings chapter 2, that his servants were not able to keep him warm. They tried putting clothes on him, and he just couldn't keep warm. And so they found in the kingdom a young maiden who would lie in bed with him to help keep him warm. And the text makes certain to say, now I'm not recommending this, but the text does make certain to say that he did not know her sexually. He did not cohabit with her, is how the New American Standard says that. So there wasn't anything sexual about that. It was just the matter of helping the king to keep warm. He couldn't do it alone. And so they found someone to help keep him warm. How can one be warm alone? This was also a culture, according to Exodus chapter 22, that you weren't supposed to, when your neighbor gave you their cloak as a pledge, remember they said, give it back to him at night, because that's what he uses to keep warm with. That's what he sleeps in. But you see, when you're a companion, you can surround one another for warmth. We can call on our friends to help us when we need comfort, when we just need someone to be there. I want to encourage you to find a friend in Jesus. He understands. Because Jesus has been here, he has been there. He knows what you're feeling. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, that's the point the Hebrew writer makes, that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He said our high priest is one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands what you feel. He knows because he spent time on the earth as a man. And just because he was the Son of God and divine did not mean that he had some magic shield around him that insulated him from the troubles of life. What does John say Jesus did at the tomb of his friend Lazarus? Jesus wept. He understands. He knows what that feels like. And he hears our call for comfort. Jesus knows what it's like to be so busy with life that Mark 6 and verse 31 says there were so many people coming and going and demanding his attention, they didn't even have time to eat. You ever had a day like that? And what was his response, even in those situations, when people needed him? He felt compassion. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus knows. Isn't that the kind of friend you want when you feel overwhelmed? When you think, I can't do one more day of this? Find a friend in Jesus. He will be there. Jesus understands when people, even those close to you, disappoints you. As his apostles argued among themselves while he's talking about going the way of the cross, they're arguing among themselves which one of us is going to be the greatest. You know what Jesus did? He went up and spent the whole night in prayer to God. find a friend in Jesus. He understands. He knows. And He will be there when we call for comfort. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend in Jesus. Number three, because He will be there when we must face our fears. The next verse in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. This was likely a snapshot of the culture in the first century, especially this road that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. A man was on a journey, and he was by himself, and he got overtaken by the robbers. If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily torn apart. It's something that helps us stay together. It binds us so that we're stronger because we stand as one. Keep your place here, but look at Acts chapter 28 as something that was said about Paul as he was making his journey to Rome. Remember, he had appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he must go. And all the things that happened to him on this journey and what he knew awaited him when he reached the city of Rome. In Acts 28 and verse 14, there we found some brethren and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and thus we came to Rome. And the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and Three Inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Why would he do that? Because he realized, I don't have to face this alone. I'm not by myself. And so just the sight of these brethren who had come to support him, to stand with him, gave him courage. That's what our companions do. That's what friends and brethren do for us. But they can't guarantee what Jesus can. Even our best friends. Sometimes they move away. Sometimes they turn away from us. Sometimes we grow apart. And sometimes they die. Find a friend in Jesus, who could say these parting words to the apostles, "Lo, I am with you always." There's not a time that He is not near us. And when we have to face our fears, we might be overpowered alone, but when Jesus is with us, we will stand. I mean, no disrespect by saying it this way, but again, it's how we often express what we look for in our friends. But I want you to know something about your friend in Jesus. He always has your back. Because he is with us always. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, Jesus knew that this would be his last night with his own. They were about to eat the Passover, wherein he would institute the Lord's Supper. And notice how John describes his mindset in John 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Though we use this phrase metaphorically, for Jesus it was literal. He loved them to death. That's the friend you have in Jesus. And when we have to face our greatest fear, death itself, what does he say? I am with you. I am with you always. I encourage you tonight to find a friend in Jesus who stands with you when no one else will. Turn in your songbooks to number 229. There's not a friend like Jesus. I want to sing this together. I didn't bring a songbook up. I put it in my notes in case I had to rescue this sermon at the end. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did that for you. Would you become his friend tonight? He'll make you the friend of God. He'll rescue you from the depth of sin and redeem you, washing you clean in his blood to stand righteous before God. And he'll surround you in times of need and trial, and he'll be with you as you go to eternity, and his face will be the first you see. You come to him. If you need the prayers and encouragement of your fellow companions in this journey of life, let us help you right now while we stand up, while we sing.